Hello, friends, and welcome back to another episode of Like Anime. My name's George, and I'm joined again by Tony.
Hi, I'm Tony still.
And we're rounding out week two of mostly episode two of the new spring anime season.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of episode ones in here, but yeah, mostly week two, episode two of things. And first up on our list is episode two of Megalobox 2, Nomad 2. Oh, wait, I said it too many times.
Yes, Megalobox.
Nomad.
Which is just me. You haven't seen this.
I have not. I watched it. Well, we've been over it. I watched the first season, but
Or some new season.
Yeah.
I like it. I really like it, actually. I said this before, when I caught up on the first season, I was expecting it to end on a cliffhanger because I knew there was a season two, but it's pretty much a self-contained story. And this one is kind of starting, picking up from there, but years later, and I like where it's going. I dig it. This new episode, as with most of these episode twos, we're getting the actual full opening song and the intro and all that. Because they kind of skip that for a lot of the first episodes. But this this one's probably my favorite opening of this season so far. I wrote down what it reminds me of, and I think you'll know what I'm talking about. But the song Rumble, kind of surf guitar-ish.
Link Ray.
Yeah, Link Ray. Uh-huh. It reminds me of a mix between Rumble and like Ecstasy of Gold, like Ennio Morricone, Good, Bad, and the Ugly kind of. It's epic, literally, and it's got that sort of... I don't know, like sort of echoey, jangly guitar thing going, and it's badass. I recommend that to anyone.
I think, strangely, I think I was just sort of looking around YouTube and watching random anime videos, and I think I actually saw the opening for that had been posted. I think I actually listened to it. I don't remember it particularly, but I do remember liking it when I listened to it. Yeah.
Okay, nice. Sweet. I wouldn't have thought you had heard it already.
I spend too much time on YouTube, just like I spend too much time watching anime.
Yes. These are all true. We've compared notes before, and you win. I like the show. It's so far, this season is kind of taking a simple approach. But I like what it's building on. This main character, Joe, and what he's dealing with. And I don't know. I don't want to get into spoilers too much, but...
come on. It's episode two. I want to know what's going on. I'm living vicariously through you since I'm not watching this.
That's true. Well, he's starting to reluctantly be pulled into, you know, some social situations and making some, because he's trying to just stay, you know, stick with himself, you know, stay by himself, and he's got a drug addiction and things aren't going so well. But through certain means, he's pulled into a community and, he kind of resisted it first, but now he's kind of like warming up to it slowly. So it's just like the starting of him cracking a little bit and kind of facing, you know, his actual, I don't know. Mm.
So it's shaping up to be sort of a redemption arc for him coming. Cause I remember you talked about how he was like at a high at the end of season one. And then we start with him like at sort of a really low point at the beginning of this season, I think. Right. And so.
Yeah. Yeah, and so it's redemption arc, but also, I guess, redemption for himself, which I kind of like, because it's like, I think he's been denying himself his needs, like emotional needs, mm-hmm. and he is, you know, maybe consciously, like, not aware of that, you know, is stuffing those feelings deep, and so I feel like, I'm imagining the way the season's going to play out is that he is slowly going to be pulled back into professional boxing, maybe. That part's a maybe, but he's slowly going to be pulled back into society and like being part of, you know, a community instead of being this lone wolf, which is a thing they really has been a part of the aesthetic from the first season. The intro of that season was, you know, just keep showing him in a lone wolf, you know, it like really drives that thing home, like flashes back, you know, back and forth. But I don't know. Along those lines, as a character arc, I'm really excited to see where it goes.
So has there not really been any boxing yet? You said
there's been a little bit. He boxed in the first episode. He boxed there's a couple of matches. You know, they're, you know, all like underground kind of stuff where the matches are being thrown mostly, and
it's a
bunch of seedy things going on. But there's one character where he boxes, and he's clearly has an edge on him, but it's mostly because of his drug addiction and the fact that he's just not fully present in himself. But that character shows up again in this episode, and
It sounds good. It sounds like it's largely character driven stuff, which I guess the first one was as well. It just got too heavy into the sports aspect in the first season.
Yeah. So, it had more of that sweeping motion of this tournament's happening and I'm a nobody and I want to, actually prove myself instead of just throwing fights and making money that way. Like, I want to actually live life genuinely and, see what I'm worth. And this season's more of what have I become? And I don't know. Yeah. Mm. So it's more in an inward journey versus an outward one.
Yeah. Sounds nice. I might, do you think I have to finish the first season before I get into this?
I don't think so. I mean, it sounds like you didn't get far enough to know at least one of the, because I remember the coach.
Mm, yeah.
But there's just this this homeless kid, a few homeless kids, but one in particular that kind of joins their cause. I think I told you about him last week. But he still hasn't shown up in this, but I imagine he will.
I'm just expecting, yeah.
Okay. But barring that, yeah, I think you'd be fine because, it's just, you already kind of know about,
I know
the show.
Yeah, I know
boxing.
Who he is and sort of what he was about anyway. So
yeah, okay. And you know about the boxing gear,
and
stuff. And he becomes known as Gearless Joe in the first season,
right?
Because he doesn't use it mostly, but yeah. So that's, I mean, just knowing that, I think you'd be good at least to check it out to see if it might be something you like.
Okay, well, I might My Thursdays are really slow, so it might fall into my Thursday slot if I got nothing else going on.
I know you were saying earlier this week that there was nothing on Thursday, and I was like, I couldn't remember exactly, but I was like, no, I got a show. I got a good show on Thursday.
Not according to my schedule.
Oh, really? I thought it was on Thursday.
I don't know which show it is, but I don't think, I have a schedule that shows all of our shows, and there's nothing on Thursday.
Hmm. Okay.
So,
all right.
I don't know.
I stand corrected.
It might air on Thursday in Japan, but it would be Friday here or something probably. Okay. So I don't know.
All right. Well, anyway, moving on.
Moving on. Are we moving on to the next show?
I think I'm good. I gave this a 7, same as last week.
And
I'm enjoying the ride.
All right. Good, solid show. All right. Next up, we've got Higehiro, episode 2. Whatever it is, I shaved my beard and took in a high school runaway. I don't remember the English title. I'm just going to call it Higehiro because it's short and easy to remember.
Yeah.
Anyway, last week I was, talking about sort of the setup between this older gentleman and this high school girl, and I was worried that they were going to Usagi drop me. I still have that worry. It hasn't gone away. But I've convinced myself that it's not going to be as bad as Usagi Drop because, I mean, in this instance, they haven't known each other that long. In Usagi Drop, he raised this girl since she was a child. It's just super creepy.
Yeah.
So in this situation, it's still kind of creepy, but I've convinced myself that because it's not as creepy, that it's okay to keep watching it, I guess.
For now.
Yeah. Anyway, story-wise, there's not a whole lot going on. Our main character, Yoshida, is a nice guy. Sayu, our other main character, is grateful that she met this nice guy who took her in. We meet a new character, one of Yoshida's work colleagues. Mishima is her name. She seems like she kind of has a crush on him, and there's this whole speculation within the office that he, Yoshida, got a girlfriend because he's been clean shaven and his shirts are ironed and stuff, which he wasn't doing before, I guess. So now that he has this sort of live-in maid in Sayu, he's looking a little bit more well-kempt. And so everyone's speculating that he must have gotten a girlfriend because how else would he make that massive change? Anyway, and that rumor is spreading around the office and the girl or lady, I guess, who rejected him in the first episode. Part of the title of the episode is I got rejected and then shaved my beard or whatever. I shaved my beard, got rejected, whatever. There's three things that happened in the title of the episode. One of them is getting rejected. So the woman who rejected him, Goto-san, his boss at work.
She didn't like the beard.
I don't remember her saying specifically that she didn't like the beard, but maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
But
either way.
Anyway, yeah, Goto-san, these rumors have been flying around that, you know, he has a new girlfriend, and she sees that he's been getting close with Mishima, the new girl that we're introduced in this episode. She sort of assumes that he's now dating Mishima. So then she invites him out to dinner, sort of almost like a date, except not a date, because she rejected him. And then she sort of questions him about it. And he's like, no, I don't have a girlfriend. No, I'm not dating Mishima or whatever. And she seems like she's kind of jealous of the idea of him dating a younger woman, even though she turned him down on his romantic advances. So anyway, there's like, you know, complications within the story, sort of love triangle-ish vibes, I guess, but like not really, because so far no one is in love except for Yoshida is in love with Goto-san, who isn't interested in him at all. And maybe Mishima is interested in Yoshida. Anyway, there's also his other work friend whose name is Hashimoto. His current worry is that either Yoshida is going to fall in love with Sayu, the high school girl, or that the high school girl is going to fall in love with Yoshida, which would, you know, obviously complicate his life further and everything. So they talk about that a little bit, you know, just sort of some characters chatting. And then I guess I sort of said this out of order because after the date with Goto-san, not date with Goto-san, he goes back home and Sayu kind of picks up on the vibe that he's a little bit down or whatever, and says, would you feel better if I gave you a hug? And then just like immediately hugs him, and then he feels better. And so there is still that possibility that they're going to turn this into a romance between them, I guess. But it feels pretty wholesome so far. So yeah. I'm still cruising with it at a 6 out of 10. You know, it could go up, it could go down.
Okay. No, it hasn't exactly found its, you know, where it's going to be, you know.
Yeah, I think it might be a while before we really know. I think there's going to be a lot of interplay with that sort of, you know, like I say, not really a love triangle, but like the sort of love triangle thing with all these.
Will they, won't they, kind
of. Yeah, it seems like quite a lot of that.
Okay. All right.
Complicated interpersonal relationships between a handful of characters, which is, you know, interesting.
Yeah, could play out in a myriad of ways.
Yeah, it could go a lot of ways, for sure. So, and then next up, we have... I skipped.
Yeah, I noticed that. And it's a list that you made.
Yeah, I had it planned out for very specific reasons the way that I did, but I think I watched one of these out of order, and that's why it's out of order in my notes.
Oh, which happens.
Anyway, you can cut this part out. And next up is Odd Taxi.
Odd Taxi, it's back. Odd
Taxi, yes.
Episode 2.
I'm just finding my notes. I watch these all out of order, man. What the heck? Okay.
So this is my favorite first episode from last week.
Yeah.
And it's probably, I don't know, it's still one of my favorite shows of the season so far. But I gave this one a 7 instead of an 8 I gave last week.
Oh, okay.
I still liked it a lot. But I don't know, there wasn't a lot of, I don't know how much... I don't know. I feel like we shouldn't get too much into spoilers, but there was a cliffhanger at the end, or something that happened that was pretty much the only thing to directly advance the plot of this mystery. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of the mystery stuff that we were introduced to in the first episode. Yeah,
there was a lot of amusing like character interactions, and I say that like not lightly. Like I laughed a few times, and I was very The show's really good, I think, about having these sort of seemingly inane, but very specific and seeming and sound natural to me, like conversations between different characters. Like, there's many to reference, but that's most of this episode. And there was a few like the walrus, you know, got hit on our main character by the alpaca nurse, which is a funny scene when we got to see that play out.
Yeah, and we sort of saw it play out through him telling his friend about it. His friend who, I don't know, was the idea that his friend sort of had a crush on Alpaca Girl?
I think so, because he was like, there's no way, like, you're full of it. And then he, you know, we see it play out, but he's telling him the story of what happened. But yeah, I imagine most of these characters and a lot of these conversations are going to play a role later. We said this earlier about a show, I forget, but I feel like I'm in good hands watching it. Like, right. I don't know, like I trust what's going on, and I'm very excited to see how it plays out.
Yeah, right now we're just seeing sort of the ends of the threads. We don't really see where they're going or how they connect together or anything, but I have a strong feeling that they all do.
Yeah.
And you wanted to avoid spoilers, so I'm not going to really say much more about everything that's in my notes. So there's a lot of characters that have been introduced somewhat momentarily up to this point who in the first episode who then come back, and it's clear that they are a larger part of what's going on, or probably are anyway, a larger part of the overall story than I would have first guessed just on their sort of brief introductions in the first episode, like the idol girls and the fanboy.
And we get
to see Hippo-kun again.
That's who I was thinking of mainly when you were describing that. Speaking of the fanboy, he's really into the idol group. I don't know. I really, this episode won me over with him. I don't know. He seems, a lot of the characters feel just really genuine to me, lived in, and I buy everything that's happened. Like, I don't know. It's like, I really like watching it.
Yeah, it is really well written, really well developed and designed characters, I really want to go into some of these.
Well, you can. I mean, you can.
I think because I have some. They're not really predictions, I guess. Just like things that I think are going on that may or may not come to fruition, but it would be impossible to state those without some setup and stuff. So with the idol girls thing, they sort of harp on the idea that the two backup idols have to wear masks. That's part of the deal.
Yeah, it's like part of their shtick or something.
And we're led to believe by a conversation their manager has on the phone that basically that the girl that's hiding in Odo's house is probably one of the girls.
Okay. I did not pick up on that.
Okay. So the conversation they're talking about the dash cam and the SD card, which the police officer took in the first episode, right?
Dirty cop.
So their manager is talking to someone about that.
Oh.
And the reason that they took it was because it recorded, this girl getting into his cab and this girl is now hiding out in his house. And so then these girls are wearing masks, probably because one of them is not who she claims to be.
Okay.
So this is just sort of a prediction of what I think is coming anyway.
Yeah.
With that regard. And then the whole alpaca girl having a crush on him. I don't know. It feels wrong. It feels like it's a setup. It feels like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we know that she's into some bad stuff. We think.
Well, there was a bunch of medication stolen from the clinic, which we don't know what medication. I assume it's like pain
something
pills,
that could be sold, probably.
Yeah, something.
And then in this episode, when she's talking with Odo about, he asks her if she has any regrets or whatever, and she talks about, you know, her student loan debt for going to nursing school.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, you regret it because you haven't paid it off or something like that. And she's like, no, I have. And then, she regrets what she had to do to pay it off.
Yeah.
Which means she's into some dirty stuff, I think, right?
Yeah. That's fair.
Then, because of the way this episode ends, which I won't spoil, it makes me think that maybe she is part of a setup for something.
Okay.
You know,
which could be, yeah.
Yeah.
And I didn't rule that out either, but yeah, that's a really good argument for that.
And then I was talking earlier about other characters that randomly show up. So since the first episode, there's been this radio show that Odo listens to. The two comedians who do this radio show just happen to get into his cab during this episode and have a conversation. And Odo listens and has a little bit of a conversation with them and stuff. But, this is another interesting thing to tie in these sort of loose ends that you think nothing of when you first see them.
Yeah.
And then they sort of come back. And whether they're going to be a major part of the story going forward, I don't know. We might not ever see them again, but I suspect we will.
Yeah. I don't know about major, but I think they'll play a part as much as, any other character that has been featured.
Yeah. I mean, the character relations, I guess, how they all link together in one way or another is almost Shakespearean, I think, in some ways. Like, he had a lot of large casts that they all interlinked in some way.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. They all have a relationship with more than one other person.
Right.
So it's all interconnecting. And then it also seems in typical classic murder mystery style, they all have a secret that they're keeping from everyone. But
yeah.
And it's fun.
Yeah, it's really solid. Like I say, really well written. The animation is, I don't know about great. It's not super spectacular, but it has its own style and it looks really good. I think I would go really good.
Yeah. The style points are, up to 11. It's very distinct and fits its own, I don't know what it's going for, I think. I like the whole package.
Yeah. So this episode and overall, 7 of 10 still. So, it's a good solid show.
The last comment on it is that idol group I wrote down is called Mystery Kiss.
Oh yes, that's right.
Which is kind of funny, a mystery kiss. Like, who kissed me? Where did they kiss me? No, I don't, but it's one of the fan.
Sorry.
Oh, you're fine. The fanboy at one point is telling someone, like a cashier, or maybe it must be the taxi cab driver. Yeah, that's who it is. He's just, gushing about how much he loves her singing and stuff. And he compares her to Janis Joplin. And we've heard her. You hear the song, which is another fun part. Like in the first episode, that pop song starts playing while he's driving his cab. And it's okay. But it's very, very important to this whole story that's unfolding. But does not sound like Janis Joplin at all. Neither does any J-pop I've heard. So maybe not any, but definitely not this one.
Yeah, I don't.
Some J-Rock, I would hear it, but
I don't know that I get the comparison, but, he's just a kid.
Yeah,
he
yeah.
doesn't know, right?
Yeah. It was funny, though. There was another reference, like Cyndi Lauper or something, and I was like,
yeah,
and Bruce Springsteen came up in the first episode.
What was the Cyndi Lauper reference? I remember there being a Cyndi Lauper reference, and it didn't 100% make sense to me.
Same. Yeah, he was talking, I think the fanboy was talking to the idol, whatever her singer or whatever her name is, the lead singer.
Yeah.
She came up something with We Are the World or something. I didn't know what that meant, if it was like an 80s thing.
Yeah, it was an 80s thing. So okay. We Are the World was like United States for Africa, I think was the name of the super group that was put together.
Okay.
Where it was all like a whole bunch of, famous musicians that all got together and sang and recorded this song that then all the proceeds went towards, the Starving Kids in Africa thing.
Yeah. Okay, that does sound familiar.
And Cyndi Lauper was part of that. And so was Bruce Springsteen, in fact. So,
oh, wow.
Not Janis Joplin, though. She was dead.
Yeah. Interesting. So, yeah, I forget what they were talking about, but that came up. So.
Yeah.
All right. Hmm. But, yeah, Odd Taxi, heck yeah.
Yeah, it's a good one. I do recommend. All right, so next up we've got Dragon Goes House Hunting. So this one is, this episode is fairly similar to the first episode. We get a little bit more information about this sort of dark elf guy who is a real estate agent who's going to help Dragon find a home.
Oh, yes, yeah, very talented guy. I remember telling me about him.
Yeah, he gives Dragon his business card, and it says on there that he's a demon lord. So he's a demon lord in addition to other things, in addition to being a a real estate agent and an architect. Apparently he also builds houses. So anyway, so he takes Dragon on a tour of a house, you know, like, oh, this house will be safe for you. Like, no heroes will come in here to mess with you because there's traps like everywhere, and proceed to have Dragon fall through every single one of the traps. And, you know, comedically, I don't know, things comedic happen, I guess. So then Dragon's like, no, I don't like this place with all this, these traps. This really stinks. He's like, okay, well, I think I have another place for you that, you know, no hero would ever go into this place. And it's nice and big and spacious. It's a bit of a fixer upper, but you'll never be lonely. So he takes him to a haunted house, which of course, Dragon being the, I don't know what the right word is, fearful, I don't know. Can I say wussy?
Sure.
All right. I guess I just did. So Dragon being sort of this wussy, is of course afraid of, you know, all the spirits and everything. He's super creeped out by the haunted house. He's really just looking for a place that's safe, but he doesn't seem to like any of the places that the elf demon lord guy is showing him.
That's kind of a gag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's about it. That's about all that happens in the episode. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So I don't know. I wasn't a big fan of the way it was set up in the first episode. And in this episode, it looks like it's just more of the same. It's funny and cute, I guess, but it's a little dumb, I think, for me. Like, it's just, the comedy isn't intelligent enough, I guess.
What you might think from the title, it sounds like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I mean, the title's pretty simplistic, and so are all the plots and everything, and so are all the characters.
Is it a 20-minute, like, per episode thing?
Like 23, 25, okay. Whatever.
It sounds like it'd be better like as a short, like 5-6 minute, you know.
Yeah, and they could definitely, like, it seems like in the first episode, maybe not so much, but this episode, like, there's definitely like 3 episodes within this episode, sort of.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they could have broken it up into multiple shorts and probably been fine, but I don't know. It's funny and it's cute, but it's just, it's not intelligent humor. It's not hard to predict what's coming. It's all fairly obvious. So anyway, I'm dropping this one. I don't even remember if I gave it a 5 or a 6. I can't find my notes. I probably gave it a 5 because if I'm dropping it, is usually when they get to 5.
Yeah.
And start dropping, but it's not bad. It's not my thing, I guess.
Yeah.
There are probably people out there that will really like it because it's silly.
And yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's just too silly for me. Anyway, moving on, we've got Yakumo.
Let's make a mug too.
Yes. Yakunara. Yakunara? Yakunara.
Cute girls doing pottery.
Yes. Cute girls doing pottery things.
I like this show. I gave it a 7 and pretty much just staying there. I mean, if, you know, cute girls doing pottery, it delivers on all of that and then some, I think, but not much more. But I literally wrote more of the same, and I
didn't write those exact words, but I did write more cute girls doing pottery things. this sort of club-based friendship activity slice of life anime thing has been done several times before, and this is just another iteration of it.
Yeah.
If you have any particular attachment to the activity that they're doing, you're probably drawn to it. If you in general like these sorts of shows that do this, then you probably don't have any sort of problem with this show.
I guess it is a good point. I mean, it makes sense too, but it's like when you do, because I don't mess with pottery and ceramics and stuff. My mom does. She's really into it. And so I kind of watch this show now. I've noticed, I don't know, like through her, or not literally, but like I'm just thinking about her because they're geeking out about pottery.
Mm-hmm.
In this episode, they're showing like different pottery styles from all around Japan. They literally get out a huge map, or one character draws one, but and they like, you know, put, you know, show where all the different pottery's from and what it looks like. And I don't know. It's just like, Okay, but they do it in a fun, cute style, which most of these shows do. And I haven't seen a lot of them, but this one in particular, like, I don't know, like, I like the characters. Some of the other shows this season are lacking in characterization, some like more serious dramatic shows that should have it. And this show, like, which is kind of like fluff but is nerdy at the same time about a particular subject, I don't know, like, characters aren't deep, they're really simple, but like, I just like them.
Yeah, and I think I mean, obviously we're supposed to. They're friendly to our main character who, you know.
I mean, there's no real there's no real antagonist or anything, so.
Yeah, it's a pretty standard sort of slice of life with, like I say, that sort of club friendship theme going on. I don't really expect anything really original from it. But for me, it's fine the way it is. It's within this subgenre that we're talking about. Like laid back camp is probably like a great example of that sort of thing that, you know, was done successfully. And this is, you know, not as good as that, but you know, it's not bad at all either. So I'm gonna keep watching. You know, it's probably got, seems like it's still sort of getting its footing. It's got some more. There's some more in there somewhere, I think.
Well, it's interesting too, because we touched on this with the 14-minute episodes, which leave me wanting more, but I also kind of like it too. It's a little refreshing, but I think because of that, they haven't, and maybe just the show's pretty simple in itself, but we haven't really spent, spent less time than, normal episode length. So it feels like less to me just because of that, but I don't know.
Well, I mean, you've still got the opening and ending and everything, but yeah, then you've got the live action portion, which
Yeah, which I'm still watching.
I wasn't going to, but then I was like, eh, it's not that long. I'll watch it. I'll see. And I like this one better than I like the first episode. In the first episode, they were just so loud and
Well, they were just
screechy.
walking around and stuff. I mean, they went to, in the first one, they went to the building that's the inspiration of the main character's house. So that's kind of cool. But this one, what is what I wanted to see last week, which was them throwing pottery. And they made some cool mugs. Like,
Which I guess actually we didn't mention, but our main character does learn sort of the same techniques that they then show these girls in the live
that's
action.
true.
But that's the other thing that happened in this episode, I guess,
Yeah.
after the Japan pottery lesson. But yeah, they actually throw some mugs and they came out looking pretty good.
Yeah. I was, they didn't show like the handle making or the glazing process, but
I
or like the
assume,
first firing and all that.
right. I assume some professional did that. They just they made the round shape, you know, the cup shape, and handed it over to someone who knows how to attach a
And
handle and glaze things.
they restarted it from scratch and made a
No,
No, they looked pretty good. They
yeah,
looked
there was
pretty good.
one that had like a little like she had gone too thin on one part of it, and you
Yeah.
could see that in the finished product too. So they were the same ones.
That's true.
I checked.
Yeah, no, I agree. Though there was one, I forget who made it, but it looked more like classic, just straight sides mug style, but it looked really good, like very symmetrical, and it came out looking I thought the best, but they all looked pretty cool.
Yeah, they all came out really well. Like I suspect they were there for well, they were obviously there for a lot longer than what we saw, but I suspect there were a lot more failures than what we saw
Yeah,
for them
probably.
to get to the point where they all had mugs
Well,
that
they were
looked
all
like that.
laughing and giggling when they were like making mistakes. I mean, when I tried to throw pottery, I was, yelling F-bombs and stuff. I mean, and then gave up, but they're
Yeah.
probably more fun than me.
All right, that's probably enough mug cup mo. Let's go on to Mars Red. This is one that I've watched. George is not watching. We're on episode two. After the first episode, I wasn't sure how this was going to play out story-wise.
Yeah, you're on the fence a
As
little
far
bit,
as if
right?
it was going to be like super episodic or what the case may be. But yeah, it seems like maybe there's a sort of episodic nature to this where, you know, new episode. There's new vampires. We have to go get them.
Okay.
So that seems to be sort of, at least in the first two episodes, somewhat of a recurring thing. Other than that, like the reporter girl that I wasn't sure about from the first episode, who happened to look like the girl who was the vampire in the first episode,
Yeah.
she's back in this episode, so it seems like maybe she's more a critical part than I first believed. I thought maybe she was just a disposable character for plot's convenience in that episode. But no, she's back, and she's investigating spontaneous human combustion, which is just because vampires, when they get hit by sunlight, combust, basically. So okay. These are vampires that are turning into flames, but the public doesn't really know about vampires, so they just think it's spontaneous human combustion. So she's investigating that.
Okay. It's on the rise.
Yeah, yeah. Lately, there's been a new increase in the number of these incidents, which is what leads them to believe that there's more vampires out there that they have to then go and apprehend. So they manage to track them down somehow, or find the general area that they're in. Maeda, who's now sort of in charge of this vampire regiment or whatever it is, he comes up with a plan to try and apprehend them. And, you know, everything goes pretty much as planned, except that there are two vampires instead of it just being one, which we actually knew earlier in the episode, but they didn't know. And because of that, one of the side characters who we met in the first episode, the first character that we actually met, whose name I have here somewhere.
Ah, sorry, too many characters.
There are quite a few characters. Where the heck is his name? Moriyama. That's his name. All right, so Moriyama gets attacked by one of the vampires, gets bitten, and in this world, when you get bitten by a vampire, you become a vampire. Or if you drink their blood, I think you also become a vampire, but it's unclear somewhat. But if you get bitten, you may or may not turn into a vampire, because it'll either poison you and you'll die, or you'll turn into a vampire, I guess. Anyway, so Moriyama, the nice guy that we met in the first episode, who was talking to Maeda about his family and stuff like that, he gets bitten. Maeda goes over and says something about, I'm the only one that'll, you know, have to suffer because of my mistakes or something like that, and then kills Moriyama before he can turn into a vampire or die of poisoning, I guess. Yeah.
Let me kill you before you die.
Yeah. And it's like, I guess it's supposed to be merciful. I don't know. I don't know how I felt about it. Like, he seemed kind of cold when he did it. So I don't know. Like, he seemed like a nice guy in the first episode, but he seems much colder in this episode. Except at one point, he is laying flowers by the spot where the actress from the first episode died, because she, you know, went into the sunlight, burst into flames.
Okay.
The one who I suspected was maybe his fiance or something. And he's laying down the flowers, and the reporter girl happens to be there and asks him about, like, why he's doing it or something. And he says, because I couldn't keep my promise, whatever that means. So, you know, a lot of open-ended threads and stuff going on.
Are you still up in the air on this one?
Yeah. I feel like it's still just, it's not where it needs to be to really get the story underway. Like, it's still sort of setting up the underlying work to be able to be able to tell the story it wants to tell. So, yeah, okay. I'm at least in for another episode, and depending on that, how that episode goes, might be in for another. So I don't know.
Can't be too much of a chore to watch then. I mean,
no, it's not. And the animation style is somewhat unique. I think I like the way it looks.
Yeah.
And story wise, yeah, there's a lot of characters and there's a lot to track, but it's not like super complicated, and it at least for the most part makes sense given what we know. Unlike something like, you know, a couple days ago when I was talking about Vivi, which just didn't really make sense, right?
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, we can move on to another new one, another episode one. We have Fumetsu no Anatae, or To Your Eternity is the English title here. All right. So yeah, I would say just sort of a general sort of thing. It's pretty compelling from start to finish. I'm not sure who the narrator is, but they seem to be some sort of god or immortal or something.
So this is the first episode, so if you don't know, I assume God at some point was like, I'm going to create this little orb.
Mm.
And it reminds me of, like, because when I was reading the synopsis, I thought, like, a physical orb, I don't know. I was just thinking, I couldn't remember the trailer, but it's been a while. But I was just reading the synopsis, and but yeah, so it reminds me of like those like ghost orbs, ghost in quotes, and people take pictures, and there's like light reflector or whatever. There's like a little orb that turns into a rock.
Yeah.
And then it gathers some moss over time, and it gets rained on, and then at some point, a wolf just dies on the rock, happenstance, and then it takes the shape of the wolf.
Yep.
And then, yeah. And I just want to set up, you know, anyone who doesn't know.
And then the wolf wanders back to where it came from, although I'm not sure how it knows where it came from, but apparently there's some sort of memory retention from the previous life form that this orb thing is imitating, I guess.
Yeah. But say, it said, like, once it became the wolf, it became, like, self-aware, which doesn't explain, like, it knew where to go.
Right.
But, like, I guess
it's not a rock anymore, so.
Yeah. But I guess it took, as in doing that, took on the original, the wolf's actual, like, instinctual knowledge.
I guess. It may just be that the rock knew which way the wolf was going and just kept going that way until it arrived where it needed to arrive. But I don't know exactly. They don't really explain it, but.
Yeah. Just happens.
Yeah, I don't know that we need to get into any spoilers further than that, really. But it's an interesting story. It's hard to say exactly what the story will be.
I think at least say like he goes back to where the wolf is from, or however that happens. And there's a young man there that's just living out in like the snowy landscape that's
sort of in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, and there's no one else there, and we learn more about why he's the only one there and stuff. And the wolf, I don't know, the wolf's so interesting. Like, just, I mean, at first the wolf kind of has narration or like voiceover where it's like he first, you know, gets in the house and he's like, oh, it smells nice in here, and what are these, you know, what is all this? And but then that kind of shifts and it kind of goes more perspective of the other person. But the wolf, I don't know, when things are happening, it's just kind of like staring at him, and and he kind of gives, you know, talks to himself a lot because he's alone and just has the wolf. So he's kind of like talking for the wolf and having his own conversation. And but there's some scenes where it's kind of creepy, where it's like, I assume the wolf is, you know, likes him and stuff, but it's just kind of like stoic and staring him down.
Seems to like him, I think.
Yeah. But it doesn't act like a normal like canine would, like jumping and licking and, you know, towards a master type, but. I don't know. It's the personality of the orb as it transforms in different things is interesting. Like it's kind of like, I guess like a self insertion thing, but it's like examining like the human condition versus, you know, like an isekai like power fantasy or, you know, something else where it's just like a self insert, you know, anime lead.
Yeah. And I mean, the narration, I guess, gives some things away. Like this orb is immortal, I believe, right? Mm. I think that's stated.
Yeah. I think in the beginning there's like two rules. Like it can take on other forms and it never dies or something like that. Or
something like that. So yeah, I mean it could go anywhere from here. This episode really felt like it was setting up a feel more than a story.
Mm.
So yeah, the story could really be anything, I think.
That's true.
But the feel was good. I like the feel of it.
Yeah, you know? it was enjoyable. It stood out from a lot of the shows this season, and I really enjoyed watching it.
Yeah, it definitely kept my attention like fully focused on it the whole time.
Yeah,
so it was, you know,
it was
really,
kind of
really good in that regard.
Kind of an experience, and that's really my take based on, you know, not spoiling anything and not going into what was in the preview for the next episode. But that's what it made me think of is like exploring the human condition, and I don't know. Just suffering and pain and kind of just average, you know, life stuff. But but seeing it from a perspective that's not human and that doesn't necessarily have the biases or the, you know, sympathy or empathy, maybe.
Yeah, and doesn't suffer from the human condition as it is an immortal orb.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe over time the orb, you know, learns how to feel. I don't know. That could be, you know, it could be a thing, and I'm not dogging that if that happens. But I like just that setup alone of, yeah.
Yeah. So this one, I mean, my rating's a little, I'm not sure exactly how to rate it. This episode by itself, if it was just a standalone and not part of anything larger, if it was just something that I saw, I'd probably give it an 8 out of 10 just by itself, you know, like solid, solid episode, solid, interesting sort of story setup, I guess. But because it's part of something larger and I have no idea where it's going, I have to say 7 out of 10 on this show as a whole, but this episode is super solid.
That's fair. I mean, I agree with that. I gave it a 7, but I had the same kind of logic, but just, you know, chose differently.
Yeah.
But it was like, I don't know where this is going, but this was really good. Yeah. Like, yeah. So,
yeah. That episode by itself was really good.
Yeah. And I hope, I don't know. I hope it's continues that, because it's not often you get like a unique, I mean, it happens, but get a unique anime premise like this where they kind of commit to speaking about something deeper, or, you know, having like a, you know, because, you know, some shows, they get into creepy sexual stuff or, you know, panty shots or whatever. And some, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But it's nice when it can just focus on something like this. It's a little more emotional, dramatic, but also like kind of cerebral, like
yeah, it's really good, really, really interesting and unique. Yeah, for sure. So then next up we've got Gloomy, the Naughty Grizzly. I have notes here. It would take me longer to read these notes than it would for you to watch the episode.
How do you have notes?
The notes say exactly what I just said.
Nice. I like it.
So, you know, it's a minute long, the episode. There's not a whole lot to it. It's like watching a an anime adaptation of a three-celled comic strip. Like, it's setup, middle, punchline, end.
Yeah.
Yep.
I like how fast it is, because they really, you know...
I mean,
things get cooking fast in that episode.
Yeah, it's well done. It's well, you know...
Yeah.
Organized into that structure, into that, like, to tell a story, any story in a minute. Like, we've already been talking about this for more than a minute. Like, that's hard. You know?
Yeah. Even to just describe, you know, at, you know, in a few sentences who Gloomy Bear is would take longer than.
Yeah, that's true. you don't need to know who Gloomy is. You'll learn that in the first 12 seconds of the episode, I think. you'll get a pretty good idea about Gloomy Bear.
Yes.
And I would recommend watching it. It was fun, and it's short enough that you're not wasting a lot of your time if you don't like it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is like, I don't know if I can recommend it that highly, but I mean, it's a minute, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
What have you got to lose? If you're already, it's on Crunchyroll. So if you're already on Crunchyroll and you see you're going looking for something to watch, you know, the first episode is literally like 50 something seconds. So
real quick and easy. And yeah, I mean, mildly amusing. It's not the funniest thing I've ever seen, but
you know. It's kind of a simple gag, but I liked it, but I'm curious how, what if, you know, I imagine that's just what it'll be, but it'd be cool if they escalate things somehow. I don't know if they're required to stay under a minute. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it would be really interesting if they're able to actually build an arc or a story that goes for the whole season just in those little minutes.
Oh, that'd be cool. Somehow. That'd be really cool.
That'd be amazing. I don't know that that's going to happen, but that'd be something.
Yeah. Have you ever seen a short that short? Japanese, like, televised? I mean, I assume it. I mean, unless it's an ONA, but.
I don't think so, really. Like, I don't remember what it was, but I think there was one that I watched a while back that was maybe a minute and a half episodes.
Okay.
Or so, a minute and a half-ish episodes. Some of them were a little longer, I think.
But darn close then.
Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty quick still. But this one, this one just so fast. We've spent three times as long talking about it.
I know. Yeah.
It,
so yeah.
Let's move it along. Just go watch it if you are curious at all, because it's not going to take up that much of your time. Next up, we have The Slime Diaries. So this is the slice of life, I guess, based on that time I got reincarnated as a slime. So I'm having some issues with this show currently, because normally in a slice of life, you have like a handful of characters that you get to hang out with, and you see them hang out with one or two other characters, and you get to know the characters. With this, they've already got preset characters from the that time I got reincarnated as a slime anime.
Yeah.
So we're sort of already expected to know who they are, I guess. The first episode did spend some time sort of reintroducing us. I think that's what it was trying to do. But this episode played out almost exactly the same. It was a lot of just like set up a somewhat random premise of, you know, something that's happening in the village, and then show every single character's reaction to or what they're doing in that situation. And because there's so many characters in this show, we get like 12 to 30 seconds with each character.
Wow.
Mostly individually, sometimes two of them together, but it barely even feels like a slice of life. Like, I'm sure that's what they're going for, but I don't know. I think it fails on that. I guess it is slice of life. It's just the slices are really, really thin, and just not at all satisfying.
Yeah. Like,
so yeah, if it would slow down, relax its pace a little bit, let us dwell in the moments with the characters a little bit more.
Yeah.
It would be much more enjoyable. I doubt very much they're going to do that. I'm going to drop this one for now. I may revisit it later if I, you know, run out of other things to watch. But I gave this episode, same as last one, 5 out of 10. It's not doing it for me.
Okay.
So we can then move on to the next one, which is Joran, the Princess of Snow and Blood. And before we start talking about it, I have to admit that I did not watch this third episode. It's the third episode, right?
Yes.
Okay, because it started like a week early or something like that. So I watched the first two, and then it came, you know, the day that Joran came out, and I was like, oh, yeah, Joran is on my watch list, and I really don't feel like watching it.
I hear you.
So I didn't. So you'll have to tell me if I'm missing out.
Nope.
Okay.
You know, it's unfortunate with this show because it looks really good.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes, especially maybe when I was younger and like just had seen less things, it's kind of easy to fall for sometimes. And I think this is kind of one of them because it has all these exciting reveals. You know, if you just walk in, you know, you see someone just got inexplicably murdered and everyone's confused. And it looks nice. It looks real nice. I like a lot of the character designs and stuff, but yeah, I just story-wise, I can't do it. Like your voice was echoing in my head as I was watching this episode of just like, I don't care. I don't care.
Yeah.
And I wrote, one of my notes is like, difficult to care. I underlined it. Difficult to care about story progressions.
Yeah.
Because like they're just not committing to anything. And I guess I can spoil, I don't know if you,
I mean, the most interesting part, the thing that most interests me about the story was Asahi and her story, her revenge against, Joran or, what's her name? Yuki.
Yeah.
What? Sawa.
Sawa.
Is the name.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or Yuki. Yes.
Yeah.
You're right about the Yuki thing. I got confused on that.
Yeah. She calls her Yuki on H-on.
Yeah.
That's why that name got stuck in my head and I never picked up on the Sawa thing. But anyway, yeah. So I'm more interested in Asahi's, you know, vengeance against Sawa. And none of the other stuff it has any interest for me, honestly. Like, just so much to not care about and so many characters to not care about.
Yeah.
So I assume there was almost no progression in that story in this episode.
Well, it's the same. Like, things happen, but it's all just so Asahi basically, I can't remember his name, but there's this guy that's like kind of seems like he's friendly with Sawa or Yuki. Mm. And he kind of also works. He also works for the same. I don't know what they are, assassin agency here.
Yeah.
But he went and talked to Asahi in the second episode.
Oh, yeah.
And like, you know, he's kind of creepy and was telling her to get away from there. But anyway, so in this episode, he has a conversation with Yuki where he's like, I found a place, you know, where they'll take her, like a church or something in this other town. And like, you should send her there. And she's like, why? And he's just like, they'll, you know, you shouldn't have her, you know, once you find this Janome guy, you know, he'll use her against you and stuff, which all makes sense. But then she's just like, what? And then like, she immediately the next day does it. She's like, here's some money to Asahi, and it's like, here's where you go, like, get out of here. If you're back, if you're still here when I'm back home, I'll kill you. And so she leaves, but then she ends up just immediately getting kidnapped, and it seems like she's dead. There's like her hand like in blood smeared on the wall and like bloody footprints, and then they reveal at the end that the person that kidnapped her, who looked like an old lady with a dog, was actually Mission Impossible style with the skin, the fake skin covering, was Janome all along. And he's working with the guy that was friendly with, Yuki, that told her, her to send the girl away, which I don't even understand. It's like that Asahi was already supposed to, she brought this up in this episode in the beginning, but she was already meeting with that old lady and like petting her dog and stuff. So like, why did Yuki need to send her away? I don't know. Yeah. It's so dumb. I'm just like, oh my God. And at the end of the episode, I was like, oh, well, we finally get to see this guy. It's Janome dude. Mm. But I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm right there with you. I was sort of excited at the idea that Asahi had, been sent away and her story was done. And so it felt good that I could just end it there, since that was the only thing that I cared about.
Yeah. And then she gets likely killed. So
yeah.
Or murdered, rather.
Yeah. Well, I guess her story's still done.
Yeah, either way. That's the case. Now it's even more done.
Yeah.
Well, because when she does send her away, she's like, I got to kill Janome and then you can kill me, essentially. So she's like, I'm sending, get out of here, but someday you can kill me. Mm-hmm. And then, nope, that's all. I mean, assuming maybe she's not actually dead, which is like, okay, well.
Sounds like this show, that's probably the case.
Oh, honestly. And they did the whole thing. So I remember at the end of the second episode, the one lady that in the assassin group with the umbrella crossbow.
Yeah,
just kills the girl they were trying to protect, the lady. Yeah. In the beginning of this episode, their head, their leader or whatever, is like talking to Sawa Yuki. And he's like, oh, yeah. He's like, I had her, I wanted her killed, or I don't know. It was all like, he just admits it, and okay, we're moving on now. But anyway, I'm done shitting on it, but it's a really nice looking show, and maybe it'll pull it together, but I just can't do it.
Yeah.
Let us know if you're watching it and you took it to completion. I'd love to hear.
Yeah, it's a tough watch. I feel like, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so then finally we have The Saint's Magic Power is Omnipotent, episode 2. So our main character, Sei, is still, doing her isekai thing. She's, as I told you before, she's been sort of reincarnated, or not really reincarnated. She's been transported to this other world and just kind of gets a job and, she's kind of overpowered because apparently she's this saint thing or whatever. So in this episode, there's a soldier that she had saved last episode with one of her healing potions. And he's like the leader of the Knight's Guard or something. I don't know, remember exactly what they call it, but, he apparently is interested in her, like is seeking her out to hang out with her and stuff like that. So he seems to have maybe a romantic interest in her. And it doesn't really go anywhere. It's just, we're sort of led to believe that that's the case. And, so she, because she's not really allowed to make potions anymore, because her potions are extra powerful and they don't want, extra powerful potions out there or whatever. Seems like a silly premise, but she starts deciding that she wants to cook because all the food there is really, really bland because they don't use any sort of herbs or spices on it, because the herbs are all like medicine. They use them for medicinal herbs for making potions and stuff.
Okay.
So she makes some chicken with some like rosemary on it, and everyone's like, oh my God, this is so good. And then the night guy comes back again, and they go out to hunt for, higher level herbs in a dangerous part of the forest where there might be monsters and she would need protected. So she and some other people go, and then while they're out there, she cooks lunch for everybody, and then they all come back with like boosted stats or something. I'm not sure how they measure stats in this, but their stats were boosted apparently. So then she's told she's not allowed to cook anymore because, you know, same reason as the potions, I guess, you know. So then she's talking to a new friend that she makes at the library about this girl who's having acne problems. So she decides to go into making cosmetics to help this girl out. And yeah, I feel like these cosmetics are going to have the same problem again. She doesn't seem to recognize it, but I imagine it's going to turn out that way. Yeah, so it's like the story is sort of a mess. Like I don't know where it's going. Like, it's not as messy as the way I just described it because I'm trying to run through it really quick. But
because it kind of sounds like just like a gag of where like she can't do anything right, even though she does everything right.
Yeah, but it's not really presented that way. It's not really presented as a gag. It's presented as like it's sort of like a hardship on her because she wants to do these things. She wants to be helpful. She wants to contribute since she's here, since she's stuck here, sort of against her will. Yeah, everything that she tries, they're like, don't do that anymore. And she's like, okay, well, I'll find something else to do. And I don't know, it's pretty chill and relaxing.
Okay.
Like the journey is pretty chill. I don't know where it's going, but you know, I'm willing to, you know, just chill for a while and cruise on the journey and see where it goes.
Okay.
6 out of 10, not like super solid. I'd say it's maybe trending upwards for me a little bit, you know, like it's, yeah. It has some Iyashike-ish undertones, but it's not really an Iyashike show, I don't think. There's a little bit too much story and plots and, you know, arcs and things going on. But it's presented in a pretty chill way, which it doesn't sound that way when I try and explain it in under 2 minutes. So sorry for that. I do enjoy it quite a bit.
Cool.
And I think that is the last thing on the list. You have anything else?
That wraps it up.
All right. Well, then, I'm Tony, and that's George. And this has been the Like Anime Podcast. You can find us on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, Reddit, all those places at Like Anime, UMLIKEANIME. Let us know what you think. If we've made a mistake in dropping Joran, let us know why. If you think that I'm wrong and the Saint's magic power is omnipotent is in fact more Iyashike and that the story is never going to happen, I mean, let me know that too. I'm excited to find out either way. So, yeah. And we'll be back, next week, starting on Wednesday is the next one that comes out, next week and do it all over again, into our, you know, a few twos, several threes, maybe a four. Episode.
Oh yes, right? Yes.
Do we have any?
I thought those were ratings. I was like, dang, next week's gonna be rough.
Do we have any episode threes that we didn't drop actually? Because Joran was a three and we dropped it.
Yeah.
And Vivi was on three and I dropped it.
Yeah. In My Hero, but yeah.
Oh yeah, My Hero, depending on how you count it. So,
yeah.
Yeah. All right. Cool. See y'all.
Bye.